In Moscow today, Russia marks the 71st anniversary of the end of World War II. And in Europe, Russia attempts to use the war as an instrument of the Kremlin's soft power. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
I'm glad to be here, Brian.
Glad to have you. So in addition to the tanks and the ICBMs rolling across Red Square, we seem to have another Victory Day ritual developing for the second straight year. The Night Wolves, a nationalist Russian biker gang, has been attempting to retrace the Red Army's path through Eastern Europe to Berlin. And to put it mildly, not everybody in those countries is exactly thrilled about this. Pavel, how's this going? I know they weren't allowed into Poland and Lithuania. They got a chilly reception in the Czech Republic. What do you got?
Well, something interesting happened this year where some of them were banned from driving across Europe. So they flew into Bratislava and then, you know, received bikes in Bratislava and drove here to Prague. And In fact, instead of a triumphant ride across the city, they faced a protest in central Prague in Wenceslav Square, with protesters flipping the middle finger, holding NATO flags, Czech and Ukrainian flags. Some of them were Russian.
Signs saying we know what Russian friendship looks like.
Exactly. It was like portraits of Stalin and Putin. Next to each other, and then after that they went to lay flowers at the monument to the Soviet soldier, not far from our headquarters here. So yeah, they weren't very welcome here in Prague,
and they weren't allowed into Poland. They weren't allowed into Lithuania.
That's right, and there was also this other action across Europe and even in the United States, something called the Bessmertny Polk, where participants carry portraits of their, you know, dead family members, war veterans, and this year they even had a picture of a group standing in front of the White House in Washington.
Uh-huh.
So all this is used as something else now. You know how, like, first of all, when you say Russia marks the 71st anniversary of the end of World War II, it almost makes me think that we're talking about something else here, because officially Russia celebrates its victory in the Great Patriotic War. And this is the traditional Soviet era terminology. You know, the Great Patriotic War implies that, you know, citizens defended the Soviet Union as their common homeland.
Right.
And we know that in Ukraine, for instance, they changed the name of the holiday.
Right.
Now it is a victory, against the Nazis.
Well, they're actually doing the Day of Remembrance and Commemoration. It's a UN, it's a holiday sanctioned by the UN General Assembly to remember all victims of World War II everywhere. And it's celebrated on the 8th and the 9th.
Right. Well, you know, the Soviet Union obviously suffered incredible losses during the war. Millions of people, tens of millions of people died in Ukraine and Belarus. And of course, it is a big day in those countries too. And Ukraine, which is attempting to move closer to Europe, is also marking the 8th of May as Remembrance and Reconciliation Day, as you rightly said. But in addition to that, it also marks Victory Day that Ukrainian war veterans are used to. There is no military parade in Kyiv, by the way.
Right.
It's
a much more somber affair. It stands in stark contrast to what's going on in Moscow.
Exactly. But in Moscow, you know, with all the imagery and this patriotic sentiment, it seems the holiday marks Russia's opposition to the West rather than a victory over the Nazis, you know, ideologically, politically, militarily. For example, this so-called St. George's ribbon that dates back to Tsarist Russia and was part of Soviet medals now has a very different meaning, you know, now that it's being used by Russia back.
Intervention in Ukraine.
Exactly. Yeah. If I may add a few words about other countries, you know, Ukraine, we talked about Ukraine, which has a controversial history where some Ukrainians fought on the side of Nazi Germany against the Bolshevik regime, for example, in the Galichina Waffen SS division. In Latvia, too, there is an issue where, you know, some part of the country's Russian community is inclined to, you know, celebrate the 9th of May. And it's not about calendars or time zones. It's really about your ideological proximity to Russia. In Moldova, too, U.S. forces now organize an exhibition of military vehicles and equipment in Chisinau. It's happening now. And the opposition Socialist Party yesterday, the 8th of May, protested against the display. They were chanting, NATO, go home. And you know that Moldova's pro-Western government has good relations with NATO. And and so now U.S. troops are taking part in military maneuvers alongside the Moldovan army.
And I understand Belarus and Kazakhstan are not having parades, is something I came across that.
That is correct, but there's still a very big big thing, the 9th of May, Victory Day in both of those countries.
Uh-huh. Now, the other interesting thing is this, I mean, as you've pointed out, the Victory Day is something of a state. It's one of the pillars of Putin's state ideology.
Absolutely.
It's all about sanctifying and glorifying the state. But in the last couple of years, we've gotten this attempt to use it in Europe as soft power, as we're seeing with the Night Wolves kind of retracing the Red Army's steps. The Kremlin's gotten much more aggressive about defending monuments to Soviet soldiers in places like Estonia or here in the Czech Republic.
Well, speaking of that, communist members of the Russian State Duma are now proposing legislation making it a criminal offense to, quote, insult the feelings of veterans of the Great Patriotic War, and to ban the toppling of war monuments, as well as, you know, banning, quote unquote, deliberate distortions of all information regarding the war. And we know how Russia has been very keen on preserving its own narrative about how World War II broke out. Remember, you know, the Molotov-Ribbentrop Act.
Well, yeah, what's conspicuously absent in all of this is any discussion of what happened between 1939 and 1941. The partition of Poland, the occupation of the Baltics, the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, the fact that the Soviet Union and Hitler were allies for the first 2 years of the war is just down the memory hole. I mean, there was a brief period during Perestroika in the 90s where this stuff was openly discussed, but it seems to have all been dumped in the memory hole now because it doesn't fit the narrative, it doesn't fit the ideology, it's to mention, it's heresy.
And did you see that video of one of the bikers who was confronted by a Belarusian reporter and, you know, who said that, didn't Russia side with Hitler
in the beginning of the war? And he was incredulous, like, this didn't happen, these people are making this up. So it's not about the veterans anymore. It's all about sanctifying the state. What else do you got cooking this week? Anything else on the plate? This is kind of blocking out the sun. If you're following Russia, there's really nothing except Victory Day on May 9th.
But Victory Day is still, covers a lot of our top stories. And actually, go to our website and watch this report about how in Moscow, businesses, small and big, capitalize on this, new wave of patriotism on Victory Day sentiment and selling victory, essentially. Mm-hmm.
No, and it's. I also noticed Putin in his remarks yesterday said that the Victory Day is will always be a unifying factor for all the peoples of the former Soviet Union, which I think many in non-Russian parts of the former Soviet Union would disagree with that sentiment. All right, well, that's all we have time for today, so we can wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me has been Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program Current Time, which you can and should watch at www.currenttime.tv. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.